Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
This is show number 35. This is part two of my interview with Carrie Hooper from New York. And we talked last week about her growing up as a blind person, going to school, going to college, getting degrees. And she started doing some international traveling. And we're going to continue the interview just right where we left off last week.
All right.
Basically, we've got you in Sweden. You're there for a year to go to school.
By the way, I should say this, that the secretary of the school helped me learn my way from the dorm where I stayed to the school. I stayed in student apartments. So I got to meet students from other countries, as well as some from Sweden. So that was really nice.
Okay.
And I got to ride the subway and learned how to ride the subway, and that didn't pose any problem at all for me.
So mobility in a foreign land isn't much different than it is here in the States?
No, I mean, you just have to learn where to go. And this person was not a mobility instructor who showed me what to do, but she knew how to show me. She knew how to explain the route from my dorm to the school, so it wasn't a problem. And I could always ask for help if I got a bit lost. I knew the language, so.
Sure.
And I was not in Sweden over Christmas. I did come home for spend Christmas with the family. That was nice.
So it
was a great year. I came home in June of 2002. And now we're up to more current times. Sum up what I'm doing today. For the past 7 years, this is my seventh year doing this job, I teach German and Italian at Elmira College. I started teaching Italian last year, but for about seven years, I've been teaching German. It's a part-time job. I'm considered an adjunct instructor, but now with teaching Italian, I get paid a bit more, and I'm grateful for the job. It keeps me busy. And I teach, this year I teach two German classes and two Italian classes. And actually, my first year Italian class was so big I had to split it into two, so I actually have five classes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I have five classes altogether. That keeps me busy. I also teach voice and piano lessons. I do some of that privately in my home, but I also teach at an art center in Corning, New York, and it's called 171 Cedar Arts Center, and I teach some voice lessons up there. I also sing in a church choir, in a Presbyterian church choir, and I'm a member of a choral group called Common Time Choral Group. We do more popular music. We don't do classical music. We do arrangements of light music. And very entertaining, lots of fun to do. And to learn that music, I get someone to tape it for me, the words and the notes, and so I can learn it. And then I just keep busy when I can, practicing my piano and voice. And I also take a yoga class, and I really enjoy that. It's very relaxing. And the teacher is wonderful. I take a private lesson, and she's very good at explaining what to do and how to do the poses. And the blindness has never been an issue with her, so I'm very pleased about that.
Well, I want to touch on a couple of things that you mentioned in our previous week's program. You talked about the fact that your social life during high school was basically non-existent because you felt that maybe you were a little more mature than than the students.
That's right.
What about siblings? Did you have siblings as you were growing up?
I do have siblings. I have an older brother and an older sister, and they treated me just fine and never any problems in that regard. The normal types of brothers and sister things. And
oh, sure, sure.
So it was a normal family life. I mean, nobody excluded me in the family, just because I'm blind. Everybody treats me well, so I'm happy about that.
Because I know oftentimes a person with a disability can sort of be sheltered a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other siblings ignore them and don't really do much with them, and then all of a sudden their only contact is with other older family members, grandparents, and maybe friends of the parents, and things like that. And so that's why they often, people sometimes tend to gravitate toward older persons.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, many of my relatives live, in fact, all of them live far away. So I did not grow up with grandparents nearby. And very unfortunately, I wish I had known them better, because I'm sure I would have had a lot in common. But many of my relatives live quite far away. And I say to my mother, we often only see each other at weddings and funerals. And in those cases, it's hard to socialize because you've got so many people and you're not there for very long. But I'm quite close to my aunt, my mother's sister, out in Ohio. We've had some nice visits. We play this card game in the family called Hand and Foot, and that's one way that I've been included. I have Braille cards, so I learned this game, so I can play it now when the family plays it. I couldn't before because I didn't have enough Braille cards, but my mother got enough decks so we can play it. It takes several decks, but she did that, so now I feel included in that game, which is a lot of fun because everybody plays it at holidays.
Oh, there you go.
So that certainly is a wonderful thing.
So what is your relationship with your brother and sister like today, now that you're an adult?
Oh, I see my sister quite often, and we have a good relationship. I mean, we talk, I don't see her every day, but and we get along well, and same with my brother. I don't see him often. He lives out in Texas, but we get along well, and so we have good times.
Well, that's good. Mentioning all the different things you do, the different classes you're teaching, mm-hmm. and you're being going to church things and doing private lessons. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a person who's blind, transportation is the biggest problem we face. How do you deal with getting to and from all those things?
My father and mother drive me. My father drives me to work on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so it's not a problem, actually. I do live with my parents, but we all get along well. So the nice thing about that is I've got a chauffeur. I do. And
does he wear a tuxedo?
That's right. Yes. So it actually works out well. And I wanted to say something else with the languages. Another language that I studied is Latin. Again, I taught myself with books from RFB. And I'm trying to finish up this one that I've had for several years. I use the CDs now. They've gone to CD. I've got a Victor Reader player that I can use.
Okay.
And I am about to start, if I can get this book that I want, I'm about to start learning Albanian.
Oh, my goodness.
If there's anybody out there from Albania, I'd like to hear from them. And if there's anybody out there who listens to ACB Radio who lives there, I'd love to hear from them. But I found a book that is available in England from the RNIB, Royal National Institute for the Blind, from their library. And it's for learning the language. So I'm looking into borrowing it. 8 volumes in Braille. So I always like to try new things, unusual things.
Well, I guess so. Do you ever find any problem in keeping the languages separate?
Sometimes. I take Tim Hendel, my friend, teaches a Spanish class over the phone, and sometimes I mix up Italian and Spanish.
Well, aren't they kind of close anyway?
Very similar, yes.
Yeah.
But he's good about keeping me straight. He corrects me. So I'm very glad about that. I really have a wonderful life. I'm not idle at all. I keep very busy.
Well, I know. I've been trying to get a hold of you, it seems like, for a month or two to do our interview. And you're either not home or just on the go. And that's good. That is a really good thing.
It is a good thing. It absolutely is. I'm grateful for that.
With the languages and doing the traveling to foreign countries,
mm-hmm.
how have you found the different foods from these countries?
I enjoy them very much. In Germany, they eat a lot of the types of things we do, meat and potatoes, except breakfasts are different in Germany and Sweden. They eat cold cuts in Germany, bread and cheese, which we don't tend to do here. And also in Sweden, But one of the things, in Sweden, they seem to eat a lot of oatmeal. I know I did when I was in Sweden. But they also will eat bread and cheese for breakfast or a piece of bread with marmalade. And I also love Swedish waffles, which are a little bit different from American ones. Swedish waffles are thinner and a little bit crispier than the American ones, but they're wonderful, and you eat them with whipped cream and jam, so that's nice. And also they eat a lot of salmon in Sweden and herring, pickled herring. I've gotten to eat that. And Italian food, authentic Italian food in Italy is not the same as American Italian food. For example, if you get a pizza in Italy, you'll get a whole pizza. It's thinner, it's simpler, it's not so heavy, the crust is thin. And I like that. I really like that. And I was able to get those kinds of pizzas in Sweden, too. I enjoyed that. So I loved the food. I loved the food traveling. I loved the experience. I never went to anything like McDonald's when I was in Europe. No, I wanted to find out what they ate. I want to experience their culture when I go to a different country.
Well, speaking of different countries, if you could pick a country that you have not traveled to yet, mm-hmm. that you would like to travel to, mm-hmm. where would that be?
I'd like to travel to Albania. It's a country I know really nothing about. I've got a student from there in one of my classes. He's learning Italian, and I would like to know more about that country. I've never been there. I want to learn the language. They say, I'm curious. I want to learn about different things, unusual things. Well, who knows? It could happen.
You just never know.
You never know. I mean, I never imagined I'd be doing some of the things I'm doing now. I mean, teaching German and Italian, that never would have crossed my mind when I was in high school. You just never know. Life works in mysterious ways. And
well, the thing that I'm impressed with is that you are using your degree and doing something with it. And so many people will go to college, go through all of that
right.
pain and misery and get the degree, and then they don't do anything with it at all.
Right, right. That's true. Even sighted people, it happens with a lot of them. But I just think you've got to try things, and I've gotten more confident as I've gotten older and more mature and been out there in the world. There's a big world out there, and there's lots to see, and just because you're blind doesn't mean you can't do it. And one other thing I want to say, in 2005, I took yet another trip to Europe. I went to England for the first time. I was in Europe that time for 6 weeks. It was the summer of 2005. And in England, I visited London. In fact, I was in London at the time of the bombings.
Ooh.
But I was not hurt. I was safe. But in London, what I did, I contacted the British Red Cross. I found out through some information. I believe I found out about it through RNIB. I got a brochure about London, and they mentioned different services for escorts. And I think I found out about the Red Cross through that. I don't remember exactly, but I believe that's how I found out. But the British Red Cross offers guides to people who are blind and or who need them. And so I sure gave my guides a workout. I had two of them. One worked some days, one worked another day. And the price was quite reasonable. I was pleasantly surprised because, as I say, I gave them a workout. We'd be gone from 9 in the morning to sometimes 9 at night. I just kept myself busy seeing everything I could. I planned very carefully what I wanted to see in England. So in London, I went to St. Paul's Cathedral and Westminster Abbey and Hampton Court, Windsor Castle, a place called Kenwood House, which was an old estate, the Botanical Gardens, the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. And at those places, you can touch things. You can touch the wax figures at the wax museum. You can touch the plants at the botanical gardens. And the guides were fabulous. They described everything beautifully. And I also went to the British Museum and took a tour. And then I also went to a hotel for the blind in a little town called Weston-super-Mare. It's called the Lauriston Hotel. And they were set up to accommodate blind folks. And they were wonderful. The staff were wonderful. And I went on a couple of excursions there. I got to ride a steam train and got to go out walking with a volunteer, just out for a nice walk. Read a couple of books while I was there. They had some Braille books and talking books. I even organized the Braille books. They were a little bit unorganized as far as volumes. So I did some organization of the volumes. let's see.
Well, what else in a hotel for the blind? That's just weird. I never heard of that.
No, we don't have that here.
No.
But I found out about that they were around in England. Again, I don't recall how I first found out about them. I think just some information that I got. I don't even remember how I first heard about them. But, you know, it seems so long ago, but I did. And
well, other than having some Braille books and talking books, What else did they have unique in the hotel that wouldn't be in a normal hotel?
Well, the volunteers to help you go places if you wanted to go out shopping, go for a walk. They had that. They had railings all around so you could feel where you were. And the excursions. The excursion to ride the steam train. And we also went to something called a cream tea, which is where you eat scones that have clotted cream, type of cream, and jam. That was fun. So, yeah, I would say that's what's unique about it. They have opportunities, things for you to do that you might not be able to do in a regular hotel. They have a van and takes you places.
Was it expensive to stay at?
Not too bad, actually. Not too bad. I stayed a week and met some wonderful people and got to sing for the folks, too, a little bit. They had a piano in the lounge. They always had entertainment in the evenings. It was very nice, the people they had. And I got to do a little singing, so that was fun. And then while in England, I also participated in a choral festival, which featured people from all over the world. I got to do that in Canterbury. And it was called the Berkshire Choral Festival. It's actually based in Sheffield, Massachusetts. I got to do that, and that was fun. We had a week of rehearsals. We rehearsed these pieces that we performed in Canterbury Cathedral. We did the coronation anthems by George Friedrich Handel and Vivaldi's Gloria. So we spent the week rehearsing, and then we gave the performance at the end of the week in the cathedral with full orchestra.
Ooh.
Chorus. It was a wonderful experience. And it was about 150 in the chorus from all over the world, from the U.S., from England. I met somebody from Singapore. That was a lot of fun. Great experience. And then from England, I went back to Sweden to visit some friends. So it was a wonderful 6 weeks in 05. That was a highlight of that summer. And I'd like to go back in a few years when I get some more money.
Oh, yes, money. It always comes out to that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But for the Berkshire Choral Festival, for that part of the trip, I did a fundraising concert in my hometown. So that helped me raise money for that. So that was fun. It was a great time. So now I'm keeping busy with my teaching, and I love to read when I have time. I do. I love to read. I read a lot of Braille books and talking books. And I also, I don't have my own computer, but my parents have a computer, and it's got screen reading software on it, so I can use it. And I use Connect Out Loud, and that works fine for me for what I do. I don't do a whole lot on the computer. For one thing, I don't have time, and I prefer to be doing some other things. I like to say my reading. So I take care of doing all my email in the morning when it's nice and quiet, before everybody gets up.
Well, Carrie, you certainly have an interesting and filled life, and I've enjoyed hearing your stories about your school and your travels and learning all your languages, and I thank you for taking the time to come on our show.
It's been a real pleasure. It's been a pleasure for me, too, to talk to you.
All right, and Carrie, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, do you have an email address you'd like to share?
Well, actually, I'd prefer to give My street address.
Okay.
I like to be I don't like to be overwhelmed with too much email. I'll give you my street address, and people can contact me by Braille or tape. And I think to start with, that's good.
All right.
You know, you never know in this world. So I like to. You just never know who might try to get you. So Here's my street address. Okay, first of all, my name is Carrie Hooper. It's C-A-R-R-I-E. Hooper, H-O-O-P-E-R. And my street address, 601 Robinson Street. R-O-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, O-N as in Nancy Street. Elmira, E-L-M-I-R-A, New York. That's abbreviation N-Y. Zip code 14904. And that's in the USA. And my phone number is area code 607-732-6788.
And do we have to address you as professor?
No, you do not.
I couldn't resist.
All right.
Again, Carrie, thank you for coming on our show. It's been very enjoyable.
It's absolutely enjoyable.
Well, Thanksgiving is coming, and many people have to ask for help when it comes to preparing the bird. And the Butterball Turkey Hotline is ready to help.
Welcome to Butterball. To be connected to our Butterball Turkey Talk Line for information on turkey preparation and cooking assistance, press or say 3.
Some 50 home economists and nutritionists take an estimated 100,000 calls each year at Thanksgiving and at Christmas time to help people bake that bird. One of the more humorous calls received on the Butterball Turkey Hotline was from a caller from Colorado. You see, she didn't have enough room in her fridge, and she wanted to know if it'd be okay if she put her turkey out in the snow and left it there overnight. Well, that's not a bad idea, except overnight, a whole bunch of snow came down. She never could find her turkey. So who knows what happened for their Thanksgiving meal. But if you are getting ready to prepare the bird, whether it's your first time, you've done several, or you're an old hand, and you've got questions, you can call the Butterball Turkey Hotline. The number is 800-BUTTERBALL or 800-288-8372. That's 800-288-8372. So what does your Thanksgiving meal consist of? The traditional turkey and dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, the green bean casserole, that's got to be one of the top favorites. Or maybe it's a sweet potato casserole or fresh baked rolls with butter, and you've got stuffed celery. And One of the favorites around our house, it's become one of the favorites over the past few years, it's cranberry margaritas. And those are hugely popular with everybody. We always have to make several pitchers of those. And, of course, my favorite is, when it comes to dessert, the pumpkin pie. And you don't have to just wait for Thanksgiving to have pumpkin pie. It can be any time of the year. So that's what a lot of people eat. Maybe my grandfather used to always eat oyster dressing. That was a big favorite of his. And there's been a couple of years, though, around our house, because Mexican food is always very popular, we've not done the turkey thing. We've done tacos and enchiladas, refried beans and rice and chips and sauce and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And in a way, that was kind of neat. And I really don't know what's going to be happening this year. My wife hasn't decided. We're not 100% sure how many people are coming for dinner yet. So that always plays into it as well. So what are you going to be having for Thanksgiving? Do you cook it yourself? Do you go to a grocery store deli that basically prepares the entire meal. And you just pick up this great big box with the turkey and the mashed potatoes, and everything's already cooked. All you have to do is take it home and pop it in the oven and get everything hot, and then you're ready to serve. Or are you going to go out for dinner? Many restaurants do serve a buffet on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day. But I don't know. I just don't think that I'd like the idea of having to go out to dinner on either of those holidays. Who do you have around your house? Is it just your immediate family, extended family, friends, people who may not have a family to spend the holiday with? Do you open your door for a variety of people? If you'd like to share your Thanksgiving experiences and what you do, your meal and who cooks it and all that stuff, any traditions your family may have, you can give me some feedback either by email, and that address is challenge8255@gmail.com. That's challenge8255@gmail.com. Or the audio feedback line, if you'd like to call in, is 206-350-2757. That's 206-350-2757. Well, I told you we'd get back and listen to a little bit more music from Cary Hooper, our guest for this week and last week, and we'll do that as we wrap up the show. And if you're here in the United States, let me wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and hope you have a great big dinner. Go ahead. You've got my permission. You can eat too much. And now, as promised, a little more music from our guest, Cary Hooper.
I love life. It holds me in its sway. My heart hears its music, a melody gladsome and gay. I love life. I have died of worldly strife. Oh, but to live.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you after Turkey Day here on The Challenge.
Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.